Friday Night Dandelion.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one of the books, two to go, second hour of the show on the Press Box on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. It's Nick and myself till 4. As we give you some of the headlines of the day, look, James Harden went from out to doubtful to questionable to I think he's going to play, says Woj, in the matter of 15 minutes. But the Nets may need help. KD might not be able to do it himself, and therefore the beard could be in there when they take on the Bucks tonight in Game 5. Last night, two series evened up at 2 apiece as the Clippers got the Jazz. And, oh, we're about to bring in someone that has plenty to say about the Jazz's hometown of Salt Lake City and their state of Utah. That should be fun. And also a nail-biter in which Joel Embiid, and I love his first name, but Joel did not Embiid get a victory last night. He petered out in the second half, and kind of like Nick on that performance last week, didn't get a win, and there was no faking it. So, without further ado, and the Astros take on the Rangers tonight as they start a homestand with the Rangers in a two-game series, followed by the White Sox with 4. Lance McCullers back on the hill there. But without further ado, I want to get this thing going because this is one of my all-time faves, my boy from back in the day. We've been trying for a long time to get him on the show, but there is no better dude that I know in all my years working in sports than my man Vernon Maxwell. And Mad Max and I go way back and had a lot of fun times back in the day with those championship teams and my first couple of years in Houston. And I know he's a fan favorite, and Houston loves him, so I want to get him in here. Max, welcome to the program, my man. Good to catch up with you. Great to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, man. You know, always nice to talk to people from my hometown. I call Houston my hometown, but I'm really from Gainesville, though. Yeah, but it's always nice to talk to my people.
And Max, you know what? I know you're a Gator, but you mentioned that. I was going to get to it at some point, but might as well get right into it. You're a Florida guy, but I mean, it's rare that you see a city that embraces an athlete more than what Houston did to embrace you and still embraces you. You're such a fan favorite. And I remember, you know, Nick is sitting here. Nick, for his birthday, was at the game, and he went down, and you signed some stuff for him, and I hooked you two guys up, and he was even talking about the way the crowd still to this day takes to you. That makes you feel damn good about being, you know, just having played in Houston, not even being from here.
Of course, man. I mean, a lot of love comes from Houston. Every time I'm there, I mean, I feel the energy. I feel the support. I mean, I just feel blessed. You know, it's a great city. I love Houston. A lot of great people, a lot of great eating spots. I mean, I know a lot of people out there and done a lot of good things, done some crazy stuff too. But besides that, I just call it it's really my second home. So,
well, V, we talk a lot about, and Nick and I were talking about before you came on, and that is the one thing that I remember traveling with those teams was the fact that the togetherness that we all had as like a family. And it was really noticeable within the team because, as we were talking about today earlier, of course you had Dream. But the cool thing about the team that you guys had was y'all had confidence as individuals, but you also saw that there was a bigger goal in mind, and the only way to get there was you had to play your role and maybe take a step back to what you were possibly capable of doing. And that's you, Mario, Sam, Kenny, Robert, all those guys. But yet, at the key moments when you needed someone to hit a big shot, each of those guys I just named had their share in the spotlight too.
Well, definitely. I mean, that's the way they built the team like that. Like I say all the time, you know, we already had our pretty much the core, me, Dream, Otis. We were there. Kenny came. Mario came. And then we brought Robert and Sam in. And so we pretty much, they kept us together, so we pretty much had the core. And then we brought on those other great pieces that they brought on, and it was a great addition to the team. And, it was just a blessing. We just, like, we clicked automatically because we all knew what we was doing when we went into training camp. It wasn't nothing new to us because we already been through it, like, 3 or 4 times together. So that core I'm talking about.
Yep.
And now when we brought those other guys in, then it just made it even better. And they came on and they fed into everything that we were doing. And because we had great leaders on the team, Olajuwon, myself, Otis Thorpe, Kenny Smith, you know, we had guys, you know, Mario, you know, I can go on and on. We had great leaders on the team. So when those guys came on, they fed into what we were doing, and then it just made the machine go just even that much better. And then on the other side, they were good guys. I mean, great guys.
No doubt. So, your thoughts on Rudy, too, because, again, with all the things that you guys did, you had a coaching staff that was open to that as well and wanted you all to shine. Rudy was the first to create that kind of inside-out mentality where give it to Dream, but then surround him with shooters like you guys had so you could make shots. And the fact that it was finally recognized, I think it was long overdue, he got in the Hall of Fame, but he had a vision that no coaches at that time had, which was to do exactly what you guys brought to the table, which was outstanding shooting and leadership around the best player in the game.
Right. Well, definitely. Well, we had to do, because Rudy put it in us, like you said, who was going in the Dream first. That was the first option. And then whoever he kicks it out to, it's because something hit there and then came down in double Dream. And then we just got good at that. Dream got good at making those passes and out to the perimeter. And, you know, and guys, you know, I mean, we're just knocking down shots, man, everywhere. And every time we needed a big shot, when they were double teaming Dream, thinking that we wasn't capable or able, then that's what we'd do. We'd knock it in game winners. Or, I mean, everybody, I mean, we all just played a big part, but we knew where we had to go to win, though. We knew we had to get it into the big guy.
Well, and I think my favorite memory of you is the big shot against the Knicks and jumping up in the air, celebrating after you made the shot, and just the whole Summit at the time losing their minds. And that's going to be engraved in Houston history. But that number 11, well before Yao Ming, I always remind people, before Yao Ming or anybody else, 11 was Vernon Maxwell's. And that's, you know, something that a lot of people that remember those Clutch City days will never forget. My man Nick here even still said he still has his Maxwell jersey. He kept it forever. And I think a lot of people feel like that. But if they don't have one, I think it's a neat opportunity that you've got some and that fans have a chance to still get one signed by you. Why don't you tell everybody what you got?
Yeah, well, I got, you know, I have my own Mitchell and Ness, Vernon Maxwell, Houston Rockets, ketchup and mustard, and the white and red ones. I mean, it's at VernonMadMax@gmail.com.
Okay.
That's where you can order them and get them from. Yeah, so, you know what I mean? That's what I'm doing for myself.
I think that's awesome. There's a lot of people from back in those days that still want a piece of that history, so that the fact that you're doing that is fantastic. Talk a little bit about the fact that you are a Twitter sensation. I mean, I love this. I would tell people all the time, if you're not following Vernon Maxwell, you're missing out. But the fact that you get out there and you can speak your mind, but I know that the faithful of Salt Lake City and Utah are high on your list to go at any chance you get.
Well, they're my people. I love them. I'm just kidding. Well, they scarred me, like I tell. I mean, I tell a story all the time. They scarred me. And, I'm just getting them back with all the things they said to me and they did to me when I was out there, when I was playing, all the things they said about my mom, about me, about just my kids, just about everybody, you know, people they didn't even know. But that's part of the game, though. You know what I mean? I ain't worried about it. I'm good with it, but I'm just saying, you know. I just have a platform now, and I'm going to keep them on the top of the list.
You ever think about it, Max? Because I remember, it wasn't just Utah. Like I said, when we were traveling, I mean, I came out of the TV truck that night in Portland because you were there, Robert Horry was there, Robert Barr was there. We were coming from all over because people crossed the lines, and now we're seeing it again where fans just feel like it's more than just having a ticket. Because they have a ticket, they feel like they can say and do things without any ramifications, and that's just not how life works. And I know that you were the first to have to deal with that in multiple cities. Today it's so much different because now it's not over when the game's over. Social media and otherwise, fans just feel like they got a platform to say and do whatever they do, and it's dangerous.
Right, and that's what I've been saying this for the longest. I've been said that when I went through what I went through out in Portland, you know, people think they can say anything to these guys, and, you know, that they want to say, and we're human beings too. We have feelings, we have families, we have kids. We're human beings, and just because we're out there on that floor playing ball, I know they think we're invincible. But we have bad days and we have good days, just like everybody else. But we still have to go to work and perform, just like everybody else.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, you ain't getting called nigger, motherfucker. Your mama ain't getting called, you know, all out by name at these, like they did in Utah with the Morant family. And I mean, it's just out of control, you know. And the throwing the bottles at, you know, at the guys walking off the floor and on popcorn on guys' heads. I mean, it's just out of control, man.
And you know, Max, I mean, that's what I said too. And the fact that you're dealing with a fan base that feels like they're entitled and they're not thinking about this rationally, in the fact that you can't just, like, I always say to people, if you saw you or Russell Westbrook or whoever the case walking down the street, if you did the things that you feel like is okay to do in an arena, you're going to get your butt whooped.
Right. Of course. And that's the thing I'd be saying, you know, wouldn't do it if we were in the street. You wouldn't never ever think about doing that,
right?
You know, and that's what I say. But I mean, like I say, man, we have to be professionals about it too, you know. And I think the majority of the time, most part of the time, we are, you know. And like I say, man, we're human beings, and we have bad days and we have good days, man. But and especially after a loss, a man just got hurt, and then you gotta, you know, get a water bottle thrown at you, and or get popcorn thrown on your head, or get soda. It's just crazy.
It is.
I mean, I just think they just need to get a hold of it. And I think now they're paying heed to it now. They see what's going on, and now they're going to start doing something and holding these people accountable. That's going to be assholes.
No doubt.
Now, is Salt Lake City a place you want to go back and visit, Vernon Maxwell, or you're done with that? Like, you just to mess with people, or are you done? You would never go back to that city. You would just talk mess from a distance.
I'm going to the All-Star game the next year at the All-Star game.
How do you think they'll react to you?
Oh, they love me. I'm throwing a party out there. and Utah.
That's fantastic.
I love it, man.
Talk about sending a message, because there's players out there like Joker who, and you, that's one of the things I loved watching you as a kid in Houston, Vernon, is you have no problem sending a message on the court. Like, if you really wanted to go for a hard foul or play tough defense, you have no problem with sending a message. Now, Joker just got ejected from the Suns game in game 4, which I thought that's what he was trying to do. He was just trying to send a message, but it's dangerous in today's game to do that. Like, yeah. How do you do that? How do you adjust? They like, just, what do you
they,
think?
It's just, they just don't let these kids play nowadays no more. I mean, you can go back. I mean, people can go back and Google back in the early mid 80s and late 80s and the early 90s. And I mean, people were getting their head tore off.
Yep.
I mean, that was just part of the game. Maybe it was a little bit overboard, but you know, and then, you know, I mean, it probably was. But, I mean, people liked it better. You know, we didn't, I don't want to go see the referees going up to the monitor and looking at this monitor like 20 times a game.
Right.
You know, just looking at everything, just got to make sure everything's right. No, man, just call it like you see it. And then that's the right way the game has been, the ball would be to be played.
Well, that's what I said.
All what you see.
I said, Max, that back in the day, the referees were also smart enough. They knew what the rule was, but they also knew who people were paying to see. So you can give a guy a tee, but you're not going to toss the MVP out of the game.
You can't throw Joker out of the game. I mean, what, he scraped him across his face?
His armpit got him.
I mean, but really wasn't. I mean, the intent, like the way he came down, it looked bad. But it really wasn't as bad as after you looked at it on the camera, man. But I'm just saying, either, I don't care. You don't kick him out the game.
Right.
That's the MVP of the league.
No
and
question.
You kind of try to, like, give him, you know, okay, all right, watch yourself. We're going to give you this technical foul now. One more, you're out of here. You know, you got to, I mean, it's just, you just don't, you don't do that to the, to the, to the superstars and the all-stars.
Now, you mentioned the superstars.
They would never do that to Michael Jordan.
I was going
to
say, and you played against Mike, and you know how that you played it back in a day when it was more physical. Now you see the Steph Currys. Now you see these guys that are getting anointed as the greatest shooter of all time, and you know the even LeBron versus Michael in those discussions. How do you feel about that? Because you played in a tougher NBA than the way – I mean, these days, you'd probably go off for 10 more points a game easy because there was no physicality. There is no physicality anymore.
Right. You can't touch anybody anymore now. But, I mean, it's different eras to this thing, man. And I always say that, man. It's different eras. You know what I mean? Our era, I think, was probably one of the better ones ever, you know, in the late 80s and the mid 80s and Bird and Magic and all them, Kareem and all that was going on. And I think through there all the way through like the mid 90s, late 90s. I mean, that's when it was good ball.
Yeah.
But then it kind of got messed up. But I mean, the game has changed so much, man. And like you said, yes, I would probably average 10 more points because you can't touch anybody anymore. And I was so quick and fast out of fast, you know, first step. So, I mean, sure, as soon as we get in the penalty, I'm going to the basket. You can't touch anybody.
I said to Nick, you were probably, in my mind, the fastest guy end line to end line with or without the ball in the league that didn't get enough credit for it because speed wasn't that noticeable back then because it was so physical.
Right. You die. And I mean, I agree with what you're saying as far as you're saying speed-wise. Yeah, I was crazy fast. I mean, I used to turn in 4.3s and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I knew I was fast. But, I mean, but it's a different game nowadays. And, man, I mean, there's certain teams I can see play, but a lot of games I don't watch, you know what I mean? I always watch Houston and see them if they're getting better. And, I mean, I know that it's like a rebuilding-type thing going on around there right now, but I love Steven Silas. You know, that's my guy.
Good dude.
I've been knowing him for a long time. Very nice man. Very good coach. I just think, you know, I mean, if he gets the chance, he's going to – I mean, I know he will get the chance, but, I mean, I think he's going to turn it around, and they just got to get a superstar, I think, in there, you know, with all those good young players that they have because they got some dogs out there. I mean, I love the team, so, I mean, I just think they got to get some – you know, a real good superstar. Somebody got to want to come to Houston. I don't see why not. A person wouldn't want to come and play in Houston. I mean, it's a great
That's why that lottery is so important. They got to get one of those top four picks because that's the kind of guy that can maybe turn the corner.
And they need to have old good luck charm. Oh, Mad Max, go sit up down that stage and let's go get Cade Cunningham. They need to have Mad Max go sit up there.
Oh, you want to be there for the draft lottery. They said Dream was going. Yeah. I would be fine with a reunion. I don't mind putting you next to Dreamer.
Dream can go. That would be a good pick for Dream. I love Dream, though. All right. Dream, yeah, I like that.
I'm not mad Dream if you both go. I'm fine with that.
No, I like Dream. I'd rather Dream. Dream was a good pick.
Okay.
I didn't think Dream would want to do something like that. But that would be good if Dream want to go.
Yeah. So where are you going for fun these days, Vernon Maxwell? Are your drinking days behind you?
Man. I have a drink every now and then. I like that wine. I play a lot of golf. I travel a lot. Got my son at Georgia Tech.
I want you to tell me about your son. Your son's hooping at Georgia Tech?
Yes, he's hooping. He's supposed to be a sophomore, but with the COVID happened, they gave everybody their freshman. They gave everybody their year back.
Yep.
So he'll still be a freshman. But it happened in a great instant for him because he broke his foot, and we had to put a screw in his foot, and all this stuff had happened last year. So he couldn't play last year anyway, so it was a blessing in disguise. Like I tell him, things happen for a reason. So, but besides all that, but he will be out there playing this year, and he's at Georgia Tech wearing number 11. And he will be getting him some money sometime around here soon.
That's great. Pastor's the coach there, right?
His name is Tristan Maxwell.
There we go. We got to keep an eye out for Tristan Maxwell. Tell me this. If we just played like quick memories in Houston, people were wondering like your favorite spots, like your favorite barbecue spot.
Wow. Oh man. what's my man's name? Oh, man, he was on the side of the street. Oh, man. Johnny's, Cadillac Anderson's brother, barbecue spot. It was called, his name, Johnny Anderson.
Okay.
He had an old barbecue spot I used to like to go to. I mean, he had the best barbecue. And Drexler's, too, now.
Sure.
I can't count them out, too. So those two were real good.
All right. Favorite nightlife spot? Because there were a few.
Nah, man. Chuck. Huh. Man. I like the little Jamaican spot right there. On a, I used to be right there in a little corner shack of a little strip. Type mall place right there. I forget the name of that place. I think it was called Jamaica.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jamaica. I remember, and then there was a couple spots by Sam's Boat up on Richmond that you would.
Oh, yeah, like Sam's Boat was my favorite. You know, I mean, I used to go out, love to go out there on the weekends and hang out with my fans and, you know, have a good time and, you know, and do what I do. I love Richmond. That was a good place for me.
Well,
I had a lot of good stuff on me.
We love you in Houston, Max. We appreciate you spending some time with us. The fans can't get enough of you, so we appreciate you spending some time with us. Don't be a stranger. You can come back anytime. And again, remember, follow him on Twitter. And if you want one of those 11 jerseys, he's got one for you, and you can find ways to get to him. But hope you're hitting him straight on the golf course, and we love it when you come to Houston.
Hey, man, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate y'all. Houston know how I feel about him. Love him. All right, man, everybody stay blessed.
There you go, Vernon Maxwell. That about makes it to the halfway point of the show. We've got 90 still to go. So we'll take a quick break, come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual. Oh, boy. Wow. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Just wrapped up 30 minutes with Vernon Maxwell to finish the first half of the show. Always great to catch up with Max. I think that... for all of you guys that were clamoring for him to be the next TV analyst for the Rockets, you should be made aware of the fact that I don't think they make a delay long enough for the fact that Max, when he gets on a podcast, he can't tell the difference between podcasts and radio shows, Nicholas.
Yeah, he probably just forgot. And lately, because podcasts are so like common, he's probably been going on podcasts where you're allowed to swear and say whatever the hell you want. And then when you go back on a terrestrial platform like radio... And it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. But he dropped everything from the N-bomb to the MF-er to the everything. And it was back to back to back. So
I think it's because he did that last podcast. I forget who he did it with.
Yeah, and you're allowed to swear,
yeah,
right?
And I think that he probably, it's tough now to distinguish because I'm sure he doesn't keep up with it that much.
That was a problem in the MMA world, too, because when no one believed in mixed martial arts or the UFC as an industry or as a sport, they were used to just doing podcasts and online shows and online radio shows and website interviews and stuff like that, where there was just, you know, they were allowed to swear. And then when bigger platforms and terrestrial traditional platforms started to cover them, a lot of these fighters were making a transition when doing these interviews because it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm not doing a podcast. This isn't the Joe Rogan podcast. So, yeah, but it was great to have Vernon Maxwell, obviously.
He keeps everything so real. I'm going to keep an eye out for his son, too. I'm curious to see. I've never seen him play, but I'm curious at Georgia Tech. If he plays, that he says he's going to be making some money someday. We'll see. That's
you lied to him, though. I don't have a Vernon Maxwell.
I have one, right?
And Ori. Nope, never had one. That was the one that I didn't have is the Vernon Maxwell.
Oh, my bad. I thought you had, because we were talking about before they were stitched on, I thought you had a Max, too. But
yeah, the one that I wore out completely was the Olajuwon one, because that was the one that wasn't stitched on, I guess.
Right.
It was the replicas, I guess, is what they were calling. But yep. Yeah, but no, that was a great interview. Now we got him on podcast and on Twitch. Look, if you the unedited version will be on Twitch if you want to check it out that way.
You could get yourself a Mitchell and Ness Vernon Maxwell jersey.
Oh yeah, that's right. Do you have the website on hand?
I'll get the website. It's what do you say? It's at Vernon Mad Max.
Let's not get it wrong. I don't remember.
I would just follow it on Twitter. If you follow him on Twitter, they've got links to how you can get one of the jerseys because he's putting them out there every now and then. But I mean, that's the thing. Everybody wants 11 retired if you're a Rockets fan. Think about the guys that wore 11. Yao recently, Max before that.
To be honest with you, I probably would have remembered Vernon before Yao.
And guess who wore it before that? Elvin Hayes.
Oh, that's right. But they didn't retire Elvin Hayes.
So, because he wore two different numbers. He wore 44 and 11, I believe, with the Rockets. The second go-round, he wore 11. But that's the thing. I mean, you got to the point where you got three guys, and because of the titles, you might be. I mean, as much as Yao was loved, you can figure out real quick how much Vernon still loved.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the fact that he can go around and people just want to hear him talk. They just his voice is so distinctive. Yeah. People just want to hear his voice. Yep. It's pretty funny. So
yeah, no doubt.
So what is this? What is this situation with ERCOT, man? I have no idea. Apparently, all these TV stations are just going around and getting all this bad info.
Well, people are losing their minds because of what we've been through when it was cold. You and I were talking about during a break. It's one thing to say that when we went off the grid and we lost it for, you know, I lost it for 48 hours. We've all lost it for an extended period of time when it was freezing out. So it was different. Now they're saying that they're asking everybody to conserve as much energy as possible during the day between now and, I think, Friday, so it doesn't happen again. How in the world are we talking about this happening again? Wasn't what happened back in the middle of the winter storm enough for everybody to figure out that it should never happen again?
I know. I don't need that. Look, I don't like to be hot, but you know what? I can deal with that as opposed to what I had to deal with when I ran out of firewood and it was me and poor little Chiquita freezing our asses off in the house. I'm assuming dealing with the heat is going to be easier, but I just want to be prepared, man. I'm tired of going through all these. Not only do we have an ERCOT situation, we're in the middle of hurricane season, and your boy still doesn't own a generator. Now I need some generator recommendations.
Well, and we thought about, Lisa and I talked about it too.
I think I'm going to purchase one now.
I don't know how your mom is, but I know that Lisa is already thinking about, hey, during the day, let's turn off all the lights. Let's, you know, make sure we're not running the washer and dryer. I was like, babe, that's fine. But do you really think that all our neighbors are going to do the same thing? Because I don't really think that they are. I don't think that, again, I don't think Houston deals with this from a preemptive strike, like doing it before it happens. They're just going to be really prepared to be really upset if it happens again.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how Houston, because we're not as bad as these natural disasters have been and the hurricane season and all that other stuff. It does kind of happen. It's few and far between for the most part. Now, there's some areas that just get it regardless. I mean, you can just start raining for 20 minutes. Next thing you know, your house is underwater.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but in other situations, it's not like that. You know what I mean? It's not like that. In other, like Meyerland, poor Meyerland, like poor areas out there on the southeast, close to the Gulf, League City. There's areas in League City that I feel bad for because no matter how many times you rebuild, it doesn't have to rain that much for it to flood. But
Meyerland and what's it off of I-10 right there by the two reservoirs? Inevitably, it doesn't even have to storm that much and we're going to have flooding. So it's crazy that for all these situations, from the power to the flooding to all the different national disasters we've dealt with, we aren't better prepared to prevent it from happening again. I can't believe we're talking about ERCOT again.
Yeah, I'm shocked, but I saw them tweet about it.
Oh, no, it's a deal.
And the fact that ERCOT took the initiative, which normally they probably wouldn't, but after this ice storm, they're probably like, you know what? We need to take the initiative here and let everybody know. I think when they took the initiative, that told me that one or two things. Either it's serious or two, they're just trying to cover their bases in the event something does go wrong because they know how everything. And look, the guy, the CEO or whoever was running it last time got fired. So.
And all the board resigned. But here's the thing. We, not jokingly, but our number one way of saying this shouldn't have happened when it was cold out is, hey, everybody runs their air conditioners when it's 100 degrees out and Houston's never had this issue. Now suddenly Houston has this issue. When it's 100 degrees out or close to it.
Yeah. All right. People are saying you can just go into a cover when it's cold. Like, man, that was too cold. I mean, I can understand when it's like 50, 60 outside and you don't have no heat, but it was down to like 30s, man. It was down to like 20s, 10s. Like,
it was chilly.
I mean, that was different.
I told you, I was taking the kids to Target the first day while Target still had power just to kill time and stay warm.
That's crazy.
And then the next day, Target lost power again, too, and then there was nowhere to go. We were just in the car the whole day trying to stay warm.
Yeah.
So hopefully we don't get to that this time, and I think for all of you that say that, hey, it's different when it's hot, it's easier to handle until your house becomes a sauna for 48 hours.
So who's this reporter? What's her name? Ivory Hecker?
Interesting story surfaced this morning. Someone texted me this. But Ivory Hecker is a reporter at Fox 26 here locally, and she took a pretty big walk out onto a short limb this morning or last night And I was going to say, you know, we all have jobs to do. But at a certain point, when do you decide to push back at your employer or the governing body of your employer? Like for us, going as high. Everybody thinks we're governed by ESPN in Bristol, which is not the case. But for Fox 26 local, they're governed by Fox National.
Mm-hmm.
Ivory Heckard, they were talking about the weather that you and I were just talking about. They threw to her so that she could give an update on what was going on with ERCOT and the weather. She decided instead to take it to a different level.
Outages across the region. Fox 26 reporter Ivory Hecker is live in Montgomery County to take a look at that aspect.
Thanks, guys. That's right. Before we get to that story, I want to let you, the viewers, know that Fox Corp has been muzzling me to keep certain information from you, the viewers. And from what I'm gathering, I am not the only reporter being subjected to this. I am going to be releasing some recordings about what goes on behind the scenes at Fox because it applies to you, the viewers. I found a nonprofit journalism group called Project Veritas. It's going to help put that out tomorrow, so tune into them. But as for this heat wave across Texas, you can see what it's doing to AC units.
Wow.
She straight called out Fox.
Right. So I don't think, here's the thing. She didn't call out her local station. As far as we know. But because they're governed by that bigger body, you got to believe that there were calls made immediately to the general manager going, what's going on? And is she going to be on the air anymore? Because now she also has the fact that it's out there. If you do anything to her now, she's protected because it's out there.
Right. So that's probably, she probably was more calculated than you think when she did this.
Right.
And basically, it's all over Twitter too. They're still tweeting about it. Ivory Hecker, she's supposed to expose Fox and blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, I thought that was super interesting. The fact that she did it live, too. They're trying to muzzle me. And how did the station react when they heard her say that?
Like,
I would imagine the news director or the program, whatever,
the director
was like, what is going on here? Did I expect that?
Well, if you heard stories in the past, and you can Google them, how news reporters and anchors decide to resign on the air. And once they start doing it, if you're the producer or the director of the live newscast, it's tough to pull the plug because you don't, but you're also scared to death because you don't know what they're going to say. But now that she's said it, the first couple takeaways are she better have a lot. So when she talks and she says there's interviews recorded and all these other things, she better be able to stack it up and back it up to what she said, because she's going to have a lot of heat coming at her. You're right. The general manager of the station and the news director are already probably freaked out.
I would imagine. But she has a following, too. She looks like she's been doing this for a while,
too. She also wants to be a singer.
Does she really?
Yeah. So maybe
she's pretty enough. I'll tell you that right now.
This might be a platform for a lot of ways for exposure on that front as well as anything else, too.
But she went to Syracuse. That's it.
Did she really?
Now I don't like her no more. That's it. Xing out of this.
Someone said she's from Wisconsin. I don't know if that's true or not. But that would have
been
a bonus.
Now I really don't like her.
See, then you wouldn't really like her at all. But what I'm saying is that she better have all of this and more, because if you don't, going back to that job, the singing career better be taken off in a hurry then, because if you don't have all your ducks in a row and have everything you say you have and it's legit stuff.
Wait, this is not Kevin Harlan's daughter, is it?
No, she married Sam Decker. That's Hecker and Decker.
Ah, that's right. I'm thinking Hecker, not Decker.
Yeah, so Kevin Harlan's daughter married Sam Decker, yep. But I'm going to be real interested to see when she comes out with what she has. And what topic are we talking about? Because it definitely wasn't the heat and the weather.
Well, it's obviously, to me, it has something to do with the amount of electricity that they know that they're going to run out of electricity or something. They know there's certain homes that are going to be impacted. They probably have an idea who's going to go without electricity in the near future. That's what I think it is. Otherwise, what is it?
I think it's political. I think it's probably got political because you know how much... You know, we talk about CNN versus Fox and whose side are they on and you know, who leans which way. And I think that what she's talking about isn't – I personally think it's something else. I think she was just assigned to cover the weather story or the heat story, but I think that she used it as whatever story I was covering today, I'm going to tell you there's some stuff going on here that's shady business that I'm going to expose.
She's got – the guts to do this, obviously, because obviously now you kind of kill your opportunity in the event that you wanted to go national, right? Like if you wanted to work at the big Fox, that's probably out of the question. Now you got to look to CBS and the other ones in the event that this is the industry that you wanted to stay in. Now you said
or did you help boost your career? If she's right.
On for another platform, yeah, she probably did boost her career. Right. But if she ever wanted to work for Fox, no.
Right. Absolutely. But if she's right, and she'll be on the Today Show and Good Morning America, and she'll do the circuit, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, I'm sure one of these 2020 shows or one of the national networks will go, hey, she's the one that blew the whistle on the local TV station. We should probably hire her because people know her. But maybe you're right. Maybe this is another avenue to boost her singing career. I don't know, but it certainly threw shockwaves through the news people in the Houston area.
I just need to get a damn generator.
Well, you got people on text message that said that they'll hook you up and run it right through your... Quentin says he's ready to hook you up, so maybe you want to give him a shout-out or... Q.
I got to purchase one. I got to purchase one for his house.
A portable.
Yeah, I'm debating as to whether I'm going with one of those gasoline ones or those inverter ones. Apparently, the inverter ones are quieter.
Why don't you get AJ's? He's leaving town. He's not going to need it anymore in Vegas.
He's not going to take his generator with him?
I don't know. He's selling off his motorcycle and other things. Why don't you tell him, hey, for all my good hard work for you when I was here, how about
just
a little
give me your generator,
for the
bro.
Just give me the generator on the way out
just
the door.
For free.
Should be done deal. Look, I'm thinking for you. I think that you got a shot there. He should give you the damn generator. All right. We'll wrap up the second hour of the three-hour program. Coming up next, don't go anywhere. It's the Press Box, ESPN 97.5.
Is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Oh, don't you know Avery Hecker's from Hayward, Wisconsin, and then she went to Syracuse.
Imagine. But does she talk like that? I didn't hear that accent.
No, but can you imagine, by the way, if you just mix those two accents? You're from Hayward, Wisconsin, and then you go to Syracuse?
Woo.
Oh, would that be painful? And I'm the first one to tell you, the Wisconsin accent, it turns, you could be literally you could work for NASA and be a rocket scientist. If you had that accent, it knocks 100 points off your IQ. People hear that and they go, oh, no.
But it doesn't, but that's not true. It's like hearing an accent from someone who is from Minnesota. Just because they sound like that, it doesn't mean that they're dumb.
I'm not saying they are dumb. It's just that people immediately like throw up
the perception.
Yeah, throw up a perception of uh-oh. Whereas if you get the Southern Belle twang, I don't think people have the same. I think it is the most judged accent in the country.
Probably. I mean, that's probably safe to say. What else is there? What is the most? That's a
Boston
good question.
Boston or New York, you probably get, oh, they're an a-hole. But you hear that Midwest, and you're like, oh, boy, you probably wash cars.
Yeah, like you're an idiot. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. It's so true. But you know what? I don't need to sound like a person from Wisconsin, and people call me an idiot all the time. So I don't really need the accent. People just call me an idiot.
We're on social media, Nick. We get called a lot worse on a daily basis with or without an accent, for sure.
Or you can be called an MF-er like Vernon Maxwell. Vernon Maxwell does not give a damn. I love the way he speaks.
Man, he...
How come he doesn't have his own podcast, or does
that's
he?
That's a great question.
Or does he have his own podcast and we don't know?
So it's weird because he had one PR guy, and I was talking to him, and we were trying to get him on the show. And then all of a sudden, the guy just goes radio silent. I couldn't reach him anymore. He was like, hey, Vernon and I are on the golf course. Then he wasn't even responding. I'm like, okay, well, whenever you get... So then I just tweeted Vernon, because Vernon liked a couple of my tweets. And I was like, Max, we're still waiting to get you on. Next thing you know, he tags some guy I've never heard of and goes, we need to make this happen. Then he starts hitting me up on emails and whatever. And I'm going, what happened to the old guy? He goes, yeah, I don't know, but... we'd love to get Max on with you. And I'm just like, well, I'm going to roll with whoever gets him on the air for us. So I'll just play with this guy then and see if we can get it done.
Well, guys like Vernon, who's liked, they need a buffer sometimes. It's getting to the point where, because he's kind of popped back into, I'm not saying he lost his popularity, but since him getting back on Twitter and being vocal and stuff like that, there's kind of been like a resurgence. And so he's too likable in the city. So I can see why he needs some sort of buffer, but it was funny. I caught a couple of them.
I think I was like, you were like a hockey goalie and a video game specialist, because I kept watching you, like, and you were like, with your flexibility, you're almost doing the splits. Like, can I hit the button with my foot and my hand and do it as you were? And we would look at each other like, oh, there's another.
And then
another.
He curses right before my question, too. And I'm like, oh, damn. I gotta reach for the dumb button and then ask the question. Man, Maxwell's, I would go out. He says his drinking days are past him, but he'll have wine every now and then.
Yeah.
Man, I wouldn't mind having a couple of shots with Vernon Maxwell and just having him just go off on people, particularly in Salt Lake City. We should throw a party in Salt Lake City and have Vernon Maxwell host it and just do shots. What do you say?
Oh, my God.
That'd be a disaster. But he might get jumped.
With Max with us?
Well, I mean, you're going to take on a whole city. We're going to need the old school Rockets.
When he was playing, he would. I remember some of those days. He took on Carl Herrera in the weight room with weights.
And Carl Herrera is not a small dude.
No, Amigo was a pretty big dude. And he tried to, physically harm him with weights.
Because he's, like, Vernon Maxwell is definitively smaller than Barkley, right? Like, Barkley's significantly bigger than him, right?
Yeah, Chuck was 6'4 and a half, maybe, and 250 to 275.
Yeah.
Vernon's playing days were probably 6'1, 6'2, 190. Maybe 180.
Yeah, I would have said 190, but yeah, 180, 190 sounds about right.
Well, here you go, Nick. Just in, Project Veritas reporting that local Houston Fox reporter Ivory Hecker has been suspended by the station effective immediately following her on-air announcement that Fox Corp is muzzling her reporting. I told you, you better have everything that you need to make this story a reality. Well, and be legit.
But how do we know that a suspension is actually terrible for her career in this instance?
Well, she's getting all kinds of exposure. You don't think, you're right, because you don't think that on line one, you've got Good Morning America. On line two, you got the Today Show. Someone on the nightly news wants to talk to her now. You know the other networks are going, hey, we'd like to talk to you. If your own network's going to muzzle you, we'd love you to talk about them to us.
What, does the suspension include you being put on a trap order? Like, all right, we're suspending you for 3 days, and in those 3 days, you're not allowed to do any interviews. Can they do something like that?
If she signs, I don't think she signs it, but she signed a contract. And in that contract, I'm sure there's language that states, while you are working for Fox Corp, you will never do any kind of freelancing or interviews or otherwise with the other networks. I wonder
if it was a spontaneous decision when they tossed to her live on the air. I wonder if it was a spontaneous decision. She's like, they're trying to muzzle me? Okay, well, watch this. And then she just did it, like, on the air. Because if that's the case, then that's not smart. Because there's no strategy behind it.
I would believe that this has been brewing for a while with her. I would think that this is how she wanted to get it. This was the one way she figured she could get it out without them muzzling her again or not letting her. If the station got wind of this, they wouldn't put her on the air live. It would all be like taped segments. You know how a reporter does a taped piece, a feature.
Right.
But they wouldn't put her on live. So what I think was happening was this kind of stuff she's talking about happened over time. She started recording conversations and getting her whole.
The other thing is that something you're allowed to use if you're secretly recording somebody? Like, if they don't know that they're on the record, and look, these are all rules and stuff, but that we, you know, I just don't know if you can publish something if you don't tell the person that this is for the record. Like, if you're secretly recording and then you take it to the public, I think that's where there's some shadiness and some gray area. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't. Now, so what I would say to that is you're probably right in terms of legalities if you put the recordings on the air. But if you reference the fact that you have them and in them, this was said, that was said.
Right. Just like, but that's called according to sources is basically what we hear on a daily basis. It's according to sources and you don't have to reveal that. So that's different. But you didn't play the audio or you didn't, you know. I think audio is just more powerful in the event that it's shady talk and bad business.
And like literally, this has happened in the past where reporters and anchors have just quit on the air because of stuff that's happened. And at that point, they win because you can't cut them off mid-sentence because now everybody's going to be looking at you.
Yeah.
And the fact that I want to say it happened once here in Houston.
Well, now if TV – yeah, I think it did. I think you're right. But, you know, if TV stations are worried or concerned for that being an issue, that's what they should put in the contract. In the event that you have an issue with the company and you make the decision to quit on air, so-and-so will happen. Or we don't have to pay you for this. Or we don't have to pay you for that. I can see that happening. Because this is the discussion I was having with you in the break, Joel. these. It used to be a situation where, okay, you're a TV reporter or a TV anchor. You have the only, you have only two, three, four TV stations to choose from in that city in terms of jobs. Well, it's not the case anymore because now people are paying big bucks and they're online platforms, they're podcasters, they're YouTubers. So I don't think reporters and anchors and news people at all, or TV station people at all, should be that concerned in the event that they have other options. But now if you're so stuck to being like a traditional reporter or anchor or studio TV host, I can understand that. But there's options out there for people. Like she's got over 40,000 people.
This is a way to get her a lot of run.
There's a lot of people that have 40,000 followers on their Twitter account, and I get it. But it's not like she can't get a gig somewhere else.
Well, and maybe it's not what her end game is. Maybe the singing thing is what she really wants to do. But I think that if she does this the right way...
Do we have music of her singing?
I don't. I mean, obviously, but I'm sure it's out there. But I'm looking at it right now. KHOU, they're saying that anchor quits on air at KHOU. It looks like Lisa Ferranda actually quit on air. A CNN anchor, Poppy Harlow, may have done it. There's lots of stories of anchors on air, including KHOU anchor quits on air. So I guess it's out there. Oh, Marlene McClinton quit in an angry huff right on the air one night. So maybe more than once in Houston. Maybe Houston is the place to be if you're going to do this kind of thing. I don't know. I might want to tell my wife about that too. Hey, if you ever want to go out, babe, with a blaze of
just
glory.
Just quit on the air.
Just quit on the air. Just let
right
it fly.
Right there. Who gives a damn?
Aim high and let it fly. All right, 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. Final hour of the program comes up next. There is some Deshaun Watson news, I guess, if you want to believe Nick Caserio. But of the same namesake, I'll get Nick's opinion on what he thinks his boy Nick meant or said or kind of said. As we continue to roll on. Final hour comes up next. It's Press Box ESPN.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.